The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And joining me in today's session is Ms. Victoria Sinarayan Gilal Singh. Welcome, and we are here to talk about suicide prevention. Good morning to you, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm happy to be here. I'm very well, thank you.
So let's start off with the first question. Is suicide still so much of a thing? What makes it persist?
Yes, so I feel like we're not talking so much about it anymore, and we're not hearing so much about it anymore, but it is still very prevalent. And one of the things that we need to consider is that every time someone attempts or completes suicide, the persons all around them would have been exposed to now a new maladaptive or unhealthy way of coping with distress. So when that person who observes it enters a space where they're also distressed and their hopelessness peaks, and they start thinking about, well, how can I cope with this? One of the things that comes up for them is suicidality. And that is one of the ways that this idea that suicide attempt or completion is something that we can do to help our situation is spread by someone actually attempting or completing.
And if it is suicide attention-seeking behavior?
So no. So a lot of times when someone expresses a desire to harm themselves, or when they start saying things in their most intimate circles that they don't want to be here anymore, they feel as though they can just die, they just want it all to end. And those are usually the kinds of comments that you get from people. You know, that's what the friends would hear, that's what teachers may hear, that's what parents may hear. And a lot of times it's dismissed because they say, oh, they're just looking for attention. And you get that a lot in schools and teenagers. Well, they're just looking for attention. That's why they're saying it. But a person needs to get to a point of hopelessness to really start to believe that the only way to cope with the situation that they're facing is to no longer exist. And so we don't want to dismiss someone's suicidal ideation, and we don't also want to minimize or invalidate the very strong emotions they're having at that point in time when they share something like that to us, because then what that does, that minimization and that invalidation and that dismissal, what it actually does to that person is it reinforces the hopelessness that they would have been feeling, which causes them to have that suicidal ideation in the first place.
And is there a way to tell the difference?
Sorry?
Is there a way to tell the difference if it is attention-seeking or actual indicator that this needs to be taken seriously?
For many people who are actually having ideation, it's not something that they're very proud of, because a person who experiences suicidality also feels defeated in their space. So you'd find that they're not going to go around telling everybody, you know. The persons that they may tell are persons whom they trust as a form of reaching out and trying to get help. So the parents may not know anything, but they might say it to a teacher, and that is a form of reaching out. But if, you know, they're telling their parents and they're telling their teachers and they're telling everybody and they're putting it on social media and, you know, they're putting pictures and videos and all these kinds of things, then you question the motivation. But I think with something as serious as suicidality, you always want to check. You never want to dismiss. Because again, different people do have different ways of expressing. Sometimes multiple forms of showing and repetition about ideation could be that that person is screaming out, somebody please love me, somebody please help me, somebody please want me to live.
And what is the difference between suicide and self-injurious behavior, like cutting one's own skin?
So suicidality is the tendency or the desire to end life completely, to no longer exist in space or in the world. Self-injurious behavior refers more to damaging the body to get some sort of creation of pain. Many times in self-injurious behavior, persons experience so much emotional distress that emotion is hurtful. You know, it's so much, it is overwhelming for them to deal with. And so the physical pain offers them two things. Now, I am in no way whatsoever advocating for the use of self-injurious behavior, but I am saying that there is a motivation to cope by using it. It is an unhealthy coping strategy, but it is done for the purpose of firstly creating physical pain that distracts from the overwhelming emotional distress. So that is one reason why they do it. The second reason why they do it is many persons who resort to self-injurious behavior have this desire to control something in their environment, which comes from an overcompensation, or rather it is an overcompensation. It comes from the lack of control they perceive in their environment. So for example, you have the teenagers who have a very difficult, hostile home environment, probably getting bullied in school, probably has very poor grades, and feel as though they cannot control any one of those things. They cannot make anything better. But what they can do is they can injure themselves. They decide how frequently, they decide how deep, they decide where they do it, how it shows, what methods they use, etc. So it is a very unhealthy way for them to get some sort of control over something. And I'm just going to echo again that even though we understand why self-injurious behavior happens, I am in no way advocating for it.
And what is the most dangerous thing someone could say to a person who is thinking about suicide?
You know, We as a society, we have a very sarcastic way of responding to certain things, particularly things that make us feel uncomfortable. And there have been not so many reported cases, but many cases that do exist where you hear someone said, you know, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go. I want to die. And a relative or a friend or a coworker or somebody says, well, if you're so stupid and you want to kill yourself, go ahead and kill yourself. Or something to the effect of, well, if you want to dead, kill yourself, the world will be better. And no one, and I'm hoping no one, ever says those words with the intention that the person will actually go on to complete suicide. But in my professional practice and in my experience, I can say that that probably is the absolute most dangerous thing, because it is the manifestation of a person presenting themselves before you in the absolute worst vulnerable state that they exist in. And you take that vulnerability, you weaponize it, and you throw it back to them. And in doing that, you basically say to them, your life is worth nothing. You should not be here. I don't even want you here. And that is something we need to be very, very careful of as a society.
One thing that can help someone who is thinking about suicide.
Well, having said what I just said about someone who minimizes a person's sense of worth, makes them feel like nothing, makes them feel like they're not wanted. The one thing, at least one thing, because of course one thing alone can't save someone, but it can certainly help and it can go a long way, is having someone who can instill hope. So someone who offers a positive regard to that person, someone who sits next to them while they're having a difficult time, not judging, not offering a solution, not saying anything, not scrolling their phones next to them, but someone who is just there being present. And sometimes that there and being present could also mean on the other end of a phone line, not saying anything, just connected through a call or through a video. And having that one person to believe in that person, to want them there, to show them that their life is valued even by that one person, positively regarded even by that one person, goes a long way. And you don't have to be a mental health professional to be that person. You can be the teacher, the friend, the sibling, the parent who just sits next to them. Let them vent, let them pour out all their vulnerabilities, let them express all the reasons why they feel worthless. Do not try to counter those reasons. So for example, if somebody says, I'm no good at anything, you don't in that emotionally heightened situation, you don't say, but that's not true, you're good at X, you're good at Y. Because that is a logical statement to somebody who's in an emotional space. So they're not going to be able to understand it. So you just allow them to vent out emotionally, to say all the negative things about themselves. And those things are valid because that's their feeling and that's their emotion. And you could never tell somebody that their feeling is not real. You can tell them their thought is not factual. You can tell them their actions are not appropriate. But you could never tell a person that their emotions are not real. And if you're in an emotional situation and they vent out those things, then what you offer is also an emotional response. So you say, well, I understand you feel that way about yourself, but how I feel about you is that X, Y, and Z. I really admire how you could whatever, whatever, whatever. And so you offer an emotional response to an emotional contribution that's more positive. And then you stay with them. And then you say, I don't want to lose you. I want you to stay here. I see that you have so much that you can give. But the greatest thing that you can give is not the actions that you can do. The greatest thing that you can give is yourself. Because you are such a beautiful person. And you go on to tell that person those things from a feeling point of view and how you feel. It's not about what they do, but it's about them and who they are, what they are characterized by, who they embody.
Well, Doctor, I'd like to thank you, for taking the time for today's edition of Mind Matters. Are there any other tips or last comments you'd like to leave with us on the topic of suicide prevention?
Well, I would just like to reiterate that you do not need a mental health professional to help somebody, but persons can most definitely benefit from psychotherapy if they struggle with suicidal ideation. So you can search up, you can reach out to the Trinidad and Tobago Association of Psychologists. Our website is www.psychologytt.org. On our website, we have a directory listing of practicing psychologists in Trinidad and Tobago. The persons on our website are vetted, so you know that they have the academic qualifications to do their job. And so you go on, their contact information is listed there. So long as you see counseling or psychotherapy, you can reach out to them. Their area is also listed. So if you're in South or North, East, West, you can get an idea. You can contact them. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And if you need to email us, you can email us at secretary@psychologytt.org.
Thank you very much, Doctor. And we will see you again next week. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.